Okay, so get this. I'm beginning to suspect that my brother is a vampire, and my family could be in danger. Let the record state that I, Lana Cooper, am of sane mind at the time of recording this. It all started about a week ago. My brother, Peter, had just returned from a night out with friends. Halloween is coming up soon, so the group had opted to go along for one of the haunted cemetery tours in our town. When Peter walked through the front door that night, I was in shock at what I felt. A cold breeze ran through the air, chilling me to the core. My brother had an odd look in his eyes, and I could smell him from across the room. The scent of something dead filled the air. He looked pale, sweaty, and just altogether unwell. We locked eyes, and he brought a finger to his lips. He slunk away down the hall, footsteps echoing, and the unpleasant odor drifting in behind him. At the time, I chalked it up to weird older brother behavior, but now I'm not so sure. A couple mornings later, Peter was nowhere to be found at family breakfast. The sun was shining through the window shutters and birds were chirping merrily outside. My mom had set out a plate of blueberry waffles and bacon, just for him, but Peter did not grace us with his presence. It was unlike him to not be awake before noon. My parents shared a glance across the kitchen table after we'd finished eating. I volunteered, gracious, good sister that I am, to go and check on him. As I walked up the stairs and down the hallway to Peter's room, waffles in hand, I heard odd noises. Muffled groans and crashes were coming from Peter's room. I halted outside the door, and I was beginning to grow worried. First the other night, then he doesn't show up for breakfast, and now more weird behavior? What the heck is going on? After a moment, I swallowed my worries and knocked on the door cheerily. I let my brother know that I had his breakfast, and he could thank me for my good deed with a slice of bacon. The noises inside the room stopped. For a minute, I thought I heard a second voice, but all suspicion left me when the door cracked open. The glimpse I got into Peter's room was complete darkness. His head poked out, and I noticed he was covered in a sheet. Ew! I asked if he'd been sleeping, and he had to think about my question for a good minute. He looked frazzled, and his lips were stained red. A ray of sunlight streamed through our upper hallway window and fell over Peter's face. He winced, recoiling back into the shadows of his room. When he reemerged a few seconds later, Peter quickly grabbed the plate out of my hands and shut the door, leaving me without my thank you bacon. I was too concerned to be upset, though. I marched promptly down the hall, deciding to investigate whatever the heck was going on with my brother. First things second, I think it's important that you know I am a suspicious person by nature. Growing up in Rhode Island, I'd often heard stories of spooky occurrences involving monsters with fangs and an appetite for blood. Before my time, between the decades of 1870 through 1900, Rhode Island became known as the vampire capital of the United States. Folklore and tales involving wretched beasts devouring foe and family alike are well known here. While it may be unbelievable to most, and I didn't believe it until I did a quick Google search, vampires totally exist. During my vast research of Wikipedia articles and websites that have been since taken down, I learned that these vampires are lurking just beyond the veil, waiting for nighttime to strike down their prey. To spot one, you have to pay attention. They never venture into the sunlight for fear of being burned. They're cold, pale, and have sharp fangs. They smell like death and radiate a chilling aura. To repel them, it's good to keep a stock of garlic, wooden stakes, and holy water. There were a couple posts about sparkly vampires, but my brother doesn't sparkle, so that's obviously misinformation. I learned a lot over the span of that one afternoon, and now that I knew the signs to look for, I also knew that Peter had exhibited quite a few of them. I would have to dig deeper and put my knowledge to the test to know this for sure. It was time to venture into the den of the beast. I waited a couple days to lay my trap, but it was worth it. The week had been cloudy so far, so I couldn't further test my sunlight hypothesis, but I had another plan up my sleeve. I had managed to convince my mother to make spaghetti for dinner. That was a win in and of its own, but my real goal was to have garlic bread as a side dish. I succeeded, and when I had returned home from school that day, The scent of garlic was spread throughout the house like a vampire repellent perfume. When Peter entered the house behind me, he wrinkled his nose. I eyed him, waiting for more suspicious vampire-like behavior. When he noticed me looking at him, he gave a toothy grin. But was it more toothy than usual? Was it just me, or had his teeth sharpened into fangs? I shuddered and pushed on into the house. As we sat down at the table for dinner, Peter grimaced. He questioned my mother's decision for Italian, and she pointed at me. I was none too pleased to be highlighted as a potential target, but I remained quiet. Peter rolled his eyes and stood up from the table. He commented that he'd get dinner elsewhere and went to leave. When he stood up, though, the collar of his shirt rolled down, and my entire family caught a glimpse at the mark on his neck. It was grotesque. Red. Angry. A bite mark. If my suspicions weren't already sky high, they just shot through the roof. Peter cleared his throat, adjusted his collar, and left without another word. My parents seemed angry for the rest of the meal. I could only assume they had the same suspicion as me. My investigation must continue. Peter did not return until late that night, so I had time to snoop in his room. I didn't find a casket or any bodies, but one thing in particular stuck out to me like a sore thumb. On Peter's desk, hidden behind magazines and notebooks, was an interesting brochure. This brochure was folded, creased, and looked like it had seen some use. It was an informational booklet about Red Cross centers in the area. My brother was a little too young to donate blood, so what else could this mean? Was he staking out places to grab a quick bite? Continuing my search, I came across another odd item, an annotated and torn-up version of the novel Dracula. I recalled a story I had read during my research and remembered that another accused vampire also had that novel found in his possessions. For me, that was evidence enough. Now that I had some solid clues, I was stumped on where to go from there. Telling my parents might work in my favor, but it could also go badly. They could believe my brother over me. Some vampires are able to manipulate others, so my brother could turn them against me. This leads me to now, as I'm recording this. I have to act carefully so I won't reveal the fact that I'm on to Peter. So, I have decided to retaliate in true little sister fashion. I will play pranks and continue my investigation to attempt and reveal my brother's true nature. Garlic is a trusty tool, but I have no idea how to get my hands on any wooden stakes or holy water. Next up on my list will be an impromptu temperature test. It could go poorly to be in such close proximity with a suspected vampire, but I believe I'm ready for the task. Dear listeners, please pray that I will not be killed in the process. If you discover this, and I have perished, I hope that you continue my work in proving that my older brother Peter is a vampire.